Metzinger, Director of Affiliate Relations at IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. As if to prove the capture of Saddam Hussein would not end the anti-coalition insurgency in Iraq, a suicide bomber driving a taxi attacked a police building in Baghdad on Monday, killing 8 policemen and wounding 10 others. The attacks came as Saddam loyalists in Fallujah and Tikrit protested the ex-dictator's arrest. Momentum has waned in the U.S. fight against terrorism, a federal panel said on Monday, and the chairman urged the government not to let events like the capture of Saddam Hussein lead to complacency at home. In its final report to George W. Bush and Congress, the Gilmore Commission, mandated in 1999 by the Clinton administration to assess the country's preparedness for terrorist strikes, warned of a slowdown in progress in the U.S. domestic security front since the September 11, 2001 attacks. The 17-member panel said it had hoped the strong reaction in the wake of the 2001 attacks would result in a comprehensive national strategy to prevent further terrorist attacks, but momentum appears to have waned. New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy plans to endorse Howard Dean for president and has asked state Democrats to begin campaigning for the former Vermont governor, state Democratic officials said Tuesday. Officials said McGreevy's endorsement, which he plans to announce Friday, is part of a broader push by Dean to gain backing of Democratic governors and other party leaders. McGreevy had planned to meet with Wesley Clark this week, but that meeting was canceled. A spokesman for Dean did not immediately return a call seeking comment. Rush Limbaugh asked a court Monday to hear his claim that investigators violated his privacy by seizing his medical records and asked that the records not be released. The conservative radio host cannot be treated for his medical conditions because the state seized his charts and files last month and intimidated his doctors, the court petition said. Prosecutors have said they are investigating whether Limbaugh obtained and used prescription painkillers illegally. Typically, such records would not be released until a criminal investigation ends and charges are filed. Limbaugh's petition asks for a court hearing within 3 days. More news after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
A garbage disposal plant in central Japan has hit the jackpot. Operations of the plant suddenly came to a halt Friday morning when a machine used to crush refuse began spewing out 10,000 yen bills onto a conveyor belt. In total, some $287,000 had found its way into the garbage. No one has come forward to claim the money, and police are trying to track down the owner. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, A&E presents the 2003 Biography of the Year.
Well, what an honor. Thanks to my family for supporting me after I survived the Iraq ambush, and my fans for comforting me during my insider trading scandal. Oh, I'm not done. A shout out to my voice coach for helping me become America's favorite idol.
Only one will be Biography of the Year. Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, only on A&E, The Art of Entertainment.
Oh, and to my fiance for the rocks that I got. Thanks, sweetie.
Ideas. I'm often asked where I get the ideas for my commentaries. A few ooze out of my own feeble brain, but to paraphrase the old crooner Perry Como, I get stacks and stacks of ideas from you good folks. Some are serious, some semi-serious, and some just plain fun to think about. In the fun category is one emailed by Rose Marie, who had heard my piece about corporate tax scammers that reincorporate in Bermuda to dodge paying their U.S. taxes. I had suggested that the CEOs of these outfits should always have to wear Bermuda shorts so we could know who they are. Rose Marie, however, felt this didn't go far enough. Rather, she writes, we should make this slime wear the Bermuda shorts on their head. Mr. W. Bain is more serious. A World War II veteran from California, he writes that he's sick of hearing politicians talk about supporting our troops in war, then turning their backs on the troops after they come home. So, to provide a measure of financial fairness to those who are putting their lives on the line in Iraq, he wants all of them to be awarded shares of stock in Halliburton, Bechtel, and the other Pentagon contractors and oil companies that are making a financial killing there. Another productive idea comes via email from Nora, who thinks that George W.'s multi-billion-dollar tax giveaway to the super-rich is stupid. While the Millionaires Club will average nearly $100,000 each from the Bush boondoggle, most families are being tossed only $400 as a sort of hush puppy. Rather than pocket this pathetic political bribe, Nora suggests that we send the money to our favorite presidential candidate, so Bush pays for his own usurpation. Then there's Bob, who says that Bush's bizarre babblings about weapons of mass destruction are clear evidence that he should be declared formally insane and removed from office. Check Bob's website at madgeorge.us. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks for the ideas. Keep them coming.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Okay, let's try this again. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We're going to pick up where we left off last night, plus add a couple of things. Sorry about all the chaos and confusion. It was pretty grim, wasn't it? Especially when I left my mic open. It's one of the features of the Malloy program, apparently. He leaves his mic open and unloads with just a string of horrifying profanities. Well, I apologize for that. I really do. If you're that sensitive, though, where it upsets you, you really shouldn't be listening to talk radio. Actually, most of the emails that I get from people about that say, "Hey, Mike, hey, you did it again. Damn, I like that part of the show." Program produced tonight by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. You can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We will get to the Saddam stuff in a minute, but there are a couple other things. You know how it is in America. We are media driven. We have to operate, we have to think, breathe, eat, and go to the bathroom on these less than 24-hour news cycles. About 20 years ago, Marilyn Thompson, a writer for the Washington Post, interviewed a woman who a lot of folks knew to be Strom Thurmond's illegitimate mixed-race daughter. And the woman, Essie Mae Washington, at the time of that interview, 20-some years ago, refused to confirm that Strom Thurmond was, in fact, her white daddy. Well, you know what's happened in the past few days. And tomorrow in the Washington Post, the writer Marilyn Thompson will continue with more revelations about this story. I have some things to say about it. The New York Times today reported that the family of the now dead and decaying Strom Thurmond of South Carolina acknowledged yesterday that Essie Mae Washington Williams, a retired schoolteacher living in L.A., is, in fact, the daughter of Strom Thurmond and a woman who worked for his family as a maid nearly 80 years ago. This is back during a time in this country when Negroes were still lynched at the whim of white people. A statement, a family lawyer for the Thurman family, J. Mark Taylor, said in a brief written statement, quote, "As J. Strom Thurman has passed away and cannot speak for himself, the Thurman family acknowledges Ms. Essie Mae Washington Williams' claim to her heritage. We hope this acknowledgement will bring closure for Ms. Williams," end quote. Now, Ms. Williams is more of a human being than I could ever hope to be. Regarding this particular issue, the perpetual rape of black women by white men, starting with Thomas Jefferson, not starting with Thomas Jefferson, but including Thomas Jefferson, and the fathering of mixed-race babies with black women as a result of a rape, is something that, were I a black woman, I, like I've said many times, if I were an American of African descent, I would have been dead years ago or locked up in solitary confinement for all the hell I would have unleashed on this country. But here we are again. Strom Thurmond, a man who built his career standing on the dark skin of blacks in the South. A man who apparently, if we believe Marilyn Thompson in her interview with some of the members of the Thurman family now, including his daughter, Strom Thurmond said, "I have to talk this way, Essie Mae. The people elect me, want me to talk like this," regarding his race baiting and his segregationist views in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. What happened was Essie Mae Washington, then a young woman, approached her father and said, "Why do you have to constantly talk the way you talk about black folk? You know, you and my mama made me. Why do you have to do this?" And Thurmond said, "That's what they want to hear me say." So if that's true, and I would believe Essie Mae Washington in a heartbeat against Strom Thurmond, the segregationist, lying, rotten, white Southerner who is now worm food. So if that's the case, then Strom Thurmond was a liar even to his constituents. He lied to everybody. But now that he's dead, you see, now that this old bastard is dead, his family will acknowledge the existence of a woman who is in her late 70s, a woman who came into this world not because of anything that she asked for, like most kids. Most of us don't ask to be born unless there's some thing about creation I don't understand regarding that, some spiritual aspect. But her father was this thuggish Republican white man who built his career. Oh, I know he was a Democrat at one time. God, don't even go there. Republican white man who built his career standing on the dark skin of Negroes in the South. Senator Strom Thurmond's son, J. Strom Thurmond Jr., United States Attorney for South Carolina, confirmed his older sister's assertions in an interview with The State, a newspaper in Columbia, South Carolina. "Young Master Thurmond said, we have no reason to believe Miss Williams was not telling the truth." Well, you smarmy little thug. You have no reason to believe she's not telling the truth. She kept her silence for 78 years so as not to embarrass the man in the big house. When Strom Thurmond raped Essie Mae Washington's mother, whose name was Carrie Butler. Carrie Butler was 16. Strom Thurmond was 22. Supposing Carrie Butler had been white and Strom Thurmond had been black, how many black men have been butchered like hamburger meat? How many have been skinned because they... How about Emmett Till? They looked, possibly, maybe not, at a white woman. But Strom Thurmond, like Thomas Jefferson, like so many white males in the South, and the North, I guess. I don't know. We never hear about the bastards in the North, do we? Just here in the South, the poor beat-up-on South. How many times did this happen? The Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's a native of South Carolina, said he was struck by the similarities between Strom Thurmond's situation and that of Thomas Jefferson. Jesse Jackson said they both reflected, quote, a deep and ugly southern tradition of white men taking advantage of young black women in their employ. Reverend Jackson said by day they are bullies, by night they manipulate race to their advantage. Referring to Mr. Thurmond and his daughter, Jesse Jackson added, the point that strikes me the most is that he lived 100 years and never acknowledged his own daughter. He never let her eat at his table. He fought for laws that kept his daughter segregated and in an inferior position. He never fought to give her first-class status. Thomas Jefferson did pretty much the same. Strom Thurmond, like so many white Southern Republicans, is a demon from hell. They are irredeemable. If there is a hell, don't you think that somebody like Strom Thurmond will burn for all eternity to not even acknowledge your own child after raping that child's mother? Now, I got an email from Marcia R. about this. And she said, yeah, here's another tale of a hypocritical Republican and his out-of-pants blank on a spree. Now, mind you, Marcia R. writes, this was 1925 when a youthful Strom Thurmond, a robust lad of 22, was feeling up his family's 16-year-old black maid. My God, weren't we still lynching African-Americans in the South then? Marcia would like to know. Remember, she writes, all those tales of black men raping white women? That sick, pervasive myth in the South that so often resulted in lynchings? I'm beginning, Marcia writes, to think it was nothing but a case of projection, that in fact all the white men were lusting after black women. Thomas Jefferson did it. Strom Thurmond did it. Who else did it? Rather than admit their fascination with these women of color, these toys for white men's pleasure, these pliable and pliant things owned and possessed, the white men's obsessions manifested only as psychological projection. So, Strom Thurmond salaciously spilled his seed throughout the South. Sick segregationist son of a bitch, Marcia writes. She signs herself a fellow truth seeker finding more than she can handle, Marcia R. And then Marcia adds a postscript here, and it is one of the you think I get bleak? Marcia adds this postscript. Dear God, save us all, for we are doomed. What a sick, sick world we have spawned, where we hate and kill and live our hypocritical lives in shadows and dark, fetid places like scum. What penance shall be enough for all the dark-skinned people we have so wronged, for all the downtrodden and poor and helpless? The meek shall not inherit the earth. They are merely here for the sport and pleasure of the powerful. I hate Republicans. Marcia. What a sick, sick story, isn't it? I mean, Strom Thurmond, just a pig, a rapist. A rapist. How many other women, how many black women did this white pig rape? 1925, he's 22. What, does he come home from? Where was he in 1925? What third world country were we exploiting in the 1920s where Strom might have gone as a, what, young naval officer or something? And he comes home and rapes his family's 16-year-old maid. 100 years this piece of human excrement lives, and not once did he acknowledge his own daughter?
And Mama, some bad talk went around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just wanted to say, Papa was a rolling stone, my son. Wherever he
months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose two dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud, made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, Drew Ziegers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Molloy.
Apparently the interview of Too Stupid to Be President by Diane Sawyer tonight on what, Primetime Live? Was quite the interview. Peter emails in, it's the first time he, Bush, has ever been pressed on the weapons of mass destruction lies. Well, story is how Peter puts it. His foot started tapping wildly, and the camera pulled back to catch it. He snorted. His voice rose markedly in pitch. He was obviously pissed at the temerity of this woman, but she kept coming back at him. Clearly, you or I could have been much more brutal to the poor simp, but it was like a fleeting breath of oxygen to hear the man asked any real honest question by a reporter who didn't back down. Sorry we missed that one. Now, today, I'm going to come to your calls in a second, but there's just a couple of things here I've got to... I got this yesterday.
Electronic voting investigator Bev Harris to reveal newly discovered potential electronic voting security breaches at Seattle News Conference on December 16th.
That's today, right? The it came from BuzzFlash, and it says Bev Harris, as you know, the author of Black Box Voting, and Andy Stevenson, a Democratic candidate for Washington State Secretary of State, have uncovered all sorts of new problems in the electoral system in King County, that's Seattle, and in as many as 14 additional states. Some really serious security issues about this Diebold thugs, and not just Diebold, but the computer voting process, the black box voting. The information, according to the press release, affects four counties in Washington State and locations in Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Texas, Maryland, Virginia. The release says a 20-page dossier will provide the specific U.S. locations affected, as well as the details on multiple security breaches which may have compromised the integrity of at least two dozen elections. Now, let me ask you something. How many people do you think from America's corrupted, whorish media covered this press, this news conference today in Seattle? How many do you think covered it? How many members of this whorish, disgusting press in this country rather entertain the American public with more pictures of the inside of Saddam Hussein's mouth, or more pictures of his alleged hidey hole, or more pictures of Paul Bremer prancing around about the glories of it all? Bev Harris is out there trying to warn the American public that we are about to lose forever our system of electing people. How many reporters do you suppose? Did you see anything about it on the news today? Did you see? Was there live coverage on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, CNBC, QXY, ABC, XYZ, LMNOPQ? Anywhere? Will there be anything in the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, New York Times, I already said that, Dallas, whatever the paper is down there, Des Moines. Will there be anything about it tomorrow in the newspaper? Rush Limbaugh wants his medical records kept private. The pig man who wanted to see Bill Clinton's penis, who insisted on seeing DNA from Bill Clinton's stain on Monica Lewinsky's dress, who wanted to see blood tests, whether or not Bill Clinton had AIDS, who wanted to see this and that and this and that. Remember? Remember? Rush Limbaugh asked a court today to hear his claim that investigators violated his privacy by seizing his medical records and asked that the records not be released. He says he can't be treated for his medical conditions because the state of Florida seized his charts and files last month and intimidated his doctors. Oh! Limbaugh's petition asked for a court hearing within 3 days. The petition says no citizen will want these highly personal details to be held by minions of the state to finger through at their leisure. Ooh, nor would any sane person wish his medical diagnosis and medical prescriptions to be widely published on television shows, tabloid newspapers, websites, and the like. Oh, but I would like to see Clinton's penis, if you don't mind.
Private place. Everything is neat and clean. The skeletons are hidden in the closet. This is my private place. You can get me out of here.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Shar Jones, Operations Department for IE America Radio Network. Please be safe this holiday season and have a happy new year.
Abandoned mines in the Rocky Mountains create problems for water and recreation. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The mountains of Colorado are peppered with the rocky debris of hundreds of mines that were abandoned almost a century ago. Metals in the rock have been leaching out for years, and they pollute rivers and streams across the state. Now, some of that pollution is jumping into new watersheds by way of artificial snow. That's because ski resorts tap some of the polluted rivers for water to make snow during the winter. The artificial snow carries traces of metals like iron, cadmium, copper, and zinc under the slopes. The contaminants are not an immediate threat to skiers, but when the snow melts in the spring, the metals can drain off into watersheds that had remained free of direct pollution from the old mines. Andrew Todd has been studying this pollution in Colorado's Snake River and its impact on a ski resort that taps the river to make snow. Todd is completing a Ph.D. in environmental engineering at the University of Colorado in Boulder. He's also working with scientists and resort managers to deal with the water pollution. Todd says there's growing pressure to clean it up because more people are moving into mountain communities.
As population expands in those areas through second home buying and people just wanting to spend time in the mountains, the problem seems to be generating a new awareness about abandoned mines and how they can play a role in the future of those communities, because their water resources are shaped by those impairments.
Todd says many mountain communities in Colorado are trying to expand their tourist economies beyond skiing and winter sports, but some summer pastimes like fishing depend on clean water, and that's part of the reason people want to clean up the mess at the old mines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm in the slammer, thanks very much, but I can still yammer. I haven't lost my touch. It's Friday, time for open line. Be a couple hundred more till I've done my time. Get down. I'll just keep talking truth and motherhood to Main Street and now the Aryan Brotherhood. And every time I mention that drugs ain't worth it, they credit me 6 months community service.
Ha! Spin-free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I got my crew, in case you imagine you can mess with me in any fashion. You really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice.
27 before the hour. A couple of quick emails here. Strom Thurmond was also on the Lynch Bill Clinton bandwagon, and if you remember, that was due to Clinton's character problems. David sent this in to me. What gets me is how the more Bush and these people lie, steal, and kill, the higher the approval numbers go. All of the networks are now predicting a Bush landslide in the next election. CNN's Candy Crowley just said today, aren't we beyond all of that when asked a question about the lies Bush used to justify the so-called war? Why does the so-called capture of Hussein suddenly justify an unjust occupation? Will Bush also go on trial for war crimes? CNN has now joined Tom Brokaw, David writes, in connecting Hussein to 9/11. No wonder Americans are so confused. We're stupid enough to begin with. I can't take much more. David writes, hell, according to the media, we might as well just cancel the next election. Democrats are declared toast. Well, as much as Candy Crowley thinks we shouldn't talk about it, my good friend Shelby LePray over at RadioPower.org sent me just a few minutes ago an article that's in the Florida Today newspaper. That's a Gannett newspaper on Florida's East Coast, Melbourne and the Space Coast, places like that. Senators were told Iraqi weapons could hit the United States. And the story simply says U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said Monday the Bush administration last year told him and other senators that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. Senator Nelson said about 75 senators got that news during a classified briefing before last October congressional vote authorizing the use of force to remove Saddam Hussein from power. Nelson then voted in favor of using military force. Nelson said he wouldn't reveal who in the administration gave the briefing. Now, you see, this is where I have to sit here for a second and clench my buttocks and release, clench, release. I have to tighten my solar plexus and release, tighten, release. I have to hunch my shoulders and release, hunch my shoulders and release. This is what my yoga teacher, well, when I had one 20 years ago, told me to do when I'm about to explode. Mike, you can't explode. Tighten your muscles and relax, and that'll diffuse the rage you feel coursing through your about-to-heart-attack body. Okay. Sensei, thank you. Now, Senator Bill Nelson, here it is. I mean, here it is. Bill Nelson and 75 senators told that Saddam Hussein had the weapons and could deliver them to the East Coast United States. Nelson said the administration told senators Iraq had gone beyond exploring and developing the means of hitting the U.S. with weapons of mass destruction and had them. Nelson says he couldn't reveal who in this corrupt, degenerate administration gave the briefing. He won't tell. Senator Bob Graham, who voted against using military force in Iraq, didn't return phone calls concerning this briefing. Spokespersons for two Florida representatives said neither congressman could say if they had received similar briefings since they don't comment on classified information. And Candy Crowley has her underwear in a wad because people just keep asking, oh, damn, do we have to keep going back to all this stuff about the weapons of mass destruction and weren't there? Oh, Jesus, can't you people sit down and shut up? George Bush is Jesus Christ's brother, okay? He walks on water. He is the Messiah. He is here to save you, you dumb thugs, you liberal punks, you morons. And you're going to push this issue about the lies? Oh, please. I got to get out of this business, Kathy. Geneva Convention, Article 13, Humane Treatment, quote, prisoners of war must at all times be humanely treated. Any unlawful act or omission by the detaining power causing death or seriously endangering the health of a prisoner of war in its custody is prohibited and will be regarded as a serious breach of the present convention. In particular, no prisoner of war may be subjected to physical mutilation or to medical or scientific experiments of any kind, which are not justified by the medical, dental, or hospital treatment of the prisoner's concern carried out in his interest. Likewise, prisoners of war must at all times be protected, particularly against acts of violence or intimidation and against insults and public curiosity. So who'll be punished for this? Reverend Dave writes, oh, nobody. Did you find yourself in an ungodly situation like a spokesman for the papacy found himself in? That the treatment of Saddam Hussein was disgusting, as much of a thug and a killer and a bastard as he is? Here it is. A top Vatican official said today he felt pity and compassion for Saddam Hussein and criticized U.S. military for showing video footage of him being treated, quote, like a cow, close quote. Cardinal Renato Martino, head of the Vatican's Justice and Peace Department and a former papal envoy to the UN, told a news conference it would be illusory to think the arrest of the former Iraqi president would heal all the damage caused by a war which the Pope opposed. The Cardinal said, I felt pity to see this man destroyed, the military looking at his teeth as if he were a cow. They could have spared us these pictures. Seeing him like this, a man in his tragedy, despite all the heavy blame he bears, I had a sense of compassion for him. We don't care about that. We are vicious stormtroopers. We kill and maim. We blow up children. You and I do. We buy the weaponry. We put the people in office. JB sent this. Since the announcement of the capture of Saddam, I have seen TV talking head after TV talking head essentially swooning over this capture. Feeling something that I imagine to be similar to what an English schoolgirl might have felt about the Beatles in 1964. So overcome with emotion are they that they have lost all capacity for rational thought. Even seasoned reporters, who must think of themselves as objective and worldly wise, have reverted to some sort of primitive humanoid state. Many have declared that the capture of Saddam makes criticism of the invasion and occupation of Iraq impossible, unthinkable even. Why? They just don't say. To them it is self-evident. They say, Governor Dean will have to explain himself now. Al Gore must regret endorsing Dean now, etc., etc. Does anybody have any better idea as to just what these nitwits are feeling and whether or not the feeling produces permanent derangement? Yeah, we live in, I don't know where we live. We live in hell. We live in Republican hell. We really do. And Jeff reminds me about Strom Thurmond. This is not an apocryphal story. It really happened. Mike, I heard Strom Thurmond also had sex in the backseat of a vehicle with a female prisoner on her way to be executed. If you ask your audience about this one, they may fill in the time and place. Awesome show. Tear it up, Jeff. I've heard that. That is a matter. It's a documented fact. When Strom Thurmond, in one of his many incarnations as a white racist pig thug in the South, he had sexual relations, intercourse with a woman who was being taken to South Carolina's death row. Just an animal. Just not even human, this pig. From Paul in Toronto, Mike, I find it funny to hear the corporate media falling over themselves to talk about what kind of trial Saddam will get. Anybody with half a brain cell knows there will never be a trial. Does anybody think the Bush crime family will let Saddam stand up in open court and tell the world all the things he knows about Pappy Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of the Bush thugs? Watch for Saddam instead to have a fatal heart attack while he's in custody. And all the dirty Bush secrets will stay secret. Well, they'll figure out some way to get him like they did with Noriega. You know, Noriega was Pappy Bush's drug connection. Noriega was Ronald Reagan's drug connection, Oliver North's drug connection. All the people who were transshipping drugs into this country to finance the slaughter of thousands upon thousands of people in Central America. And look what happened to him. David Walsh writes this. The official American response to the capture of Saddam Hussein must provoke feelings of deep disgust. It requires a political and media establishment from whom all traces of democratic or humane instinct have been eradicated to react with a display of such ignorance, vindictiveness, and sadism. There is irony in the fact that only a regime as depraved as the current one of Washington could create by its actions a degree of sympathy for Saddam Hussein, a right-wing nationalist thug and former ally of the United States. Banner headlines screaming, "We've got him!" The innumerable and tedious variations on the rat caught in his hole, countless news items citing the event as George W. Bush's ultimate Christmas present. What does this all add up to? An unspeakably backward and repellent quality permeates it. The capture of Hussein, an inevitable event given the current disposition of military forces and the free hand that American forces have to bribe, bully, and torture, is only the latest and most dramatic in a series of such episodes. Yeah. The New York Post of Rupert Murdoch as is generally the case, offered the foulest example of gutter journalism, commenting that Saddam looked, quote, every bit like a subway panhandler, while a medic checked his scalp for lice. Even after he'd been cleaned and shaved, it was obvious that he'd lost his will to fight. His eyes were blank, his face a mask of submission, end quote. This is pretty rich. Hussein was hiding for months from the most lethal military force on this planet. His sons had been murdered. What sort of condition was Hussein likely to be found in? And as far as his comportment, can it be truly said that he behaved with less fortitude than an American president would under similar circumstances? American politicians regularly burst into tears when they lose a primary election. Journalists are now pressing Bush and his cohorts with questions about the possibility of executing him. At his news conference yesterday, he was asked by one reporter, do you think that execution should be an option? Bush smirked.
He will be detained. We will work with the Iraqis to develop a way to try him that will stand international scrutiny, I guess is the best way to put it. I got my own personal views of how he ought to be treated, but I'm not an Iraqi citizen. It's going to be up to the Iraqis to make those decisions.
And the assembled reporters pretended to believe his last point. There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein has many crimes to answer for, but so, for that matter, does George W. Bush and those among his associates whose launching of an aggressive war against Iraq constitutes, if the precedent of the Nuremberg trials retain any standing, a crime. And the media laps it up, as do the tops of the Democratic Party. The inevitable Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, candidate for his party's presidential nomination, quickly joined the chorus, calling for blood. If an international or Iraqi tribunal could not execute Hussein, Lieberman said, he should be brought before an American military tribunal and face death. God. If every crime attributed to Hussein since Sabathis took power for good in 1968 were true, his hands would still not be as stained with a fraction of the blood spilled by a series of U.S. presidents over the same general period. 4 million Vietnamese lost their lives, along with an estimated 1 million Cambodians and 500,000 Laotians. In Indonesia in 1965, a CIA-supported coup resulted in the deaths of another 500,000 people. Between 1954 and 2002, 300,000 Guatemalans are estimated to have met their deaths as a result of U.S.-backed government repression. Another 100,000 died in El Salvador. In Argentina and Chile in the 70s, with the capable assistance of the Nixon, Kissinger, and Carter-Brzezinski regimes, military butchers tortured and murdered 50,000 people. Hundreds of thousands, if not more, Iraqis, including 500,000 children, have encountered a tragic fate as a result of the two wars conducted by U.S. forces and a decade of devastating sanctions under Bush and Clinton. The Afghan catastrophe, engineered by Brzezinski in 1979 and the Soviets, has resulted in another 1 million deaths, and one should add the lives of 3,000 innocent Americans lost in the terrorist attacks of September 2001. But by God, truth seeker, we got Saddam. And George Bush's reelection is guaranteed. And Governor Dean and Al Gore and all the Democrats might as well just take their ditty bop bags and go home. Because we have a real leader now. We have a man. We have Christ's younger brother. We have a dude that walks on water. We have somebody who can commit murder and mayhem of entire populations and not be held accountable. And by God, that's something, isn't it? That's something. The people responsible for 3,000 dead on the United States soil 2 years ago. What'd Bush say a couple of months ago? He doesn't matter. I don't even think about him anymore. But we got Saddam Hussein, the one who really engineered the attack on this country on September 11th. The one who really had weapons of mass destruction standing off the coast of the United States. 75 senators were told that, ready to wreak death and destruction on us. And George Bush put a stop to that.
It's good news week. Someone's got the bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's good news.
like today? What's the weather like today? It's Good News Week.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion, and that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing, Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Mr. Bin Laden is one of the worst. We'll get him running. We'll smoke him out of his cave. And we'll get him eventually.
It's about five before the hour. Okay, after the break, the top of the hour here, we're going to go strictly to your phone calls. So if you were holding on and gave up because I just kept going on and on and on, rejoin us, okay? We'll put you on the air. Joe is calling our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. I want to say a little bit about Max Cleland, Joe Lieberman, Al Gore. First of all, about your former senator, Max Cleland. I mean, you know, regardless of the fact that we all know what he went through in Vietnam and what happened to him and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, the remarks Max Cleland made the other day about Howard Dean. You know, how Howard Dean supposedly ducked out of the Vietnam War and left it to other people. You know.
Did he say that?
Oh, yes.
Well.
Because Max Cleland was a big John Kerry supporter, you know.
No, I haven't. The only campaigns I've been following are Howard Dean's and Dennis Kucinich. And I try not to listen to Democrats who are trying to commit murder and mayhem on Howard Dean. I'm trying very hard not to hear that.
Well, I don't blame you.
So I missed that one, Joe.
Well, yeah, he was basically, you know, bringing up the whole thing about the, you know, Howard Dean going skiing in Vermont
right.
and all that. And the reason it strikes me as a cheap shot is that, you know, Howard Dean has paid the price. You know, he had a brother that died over in Laos, you know, during the Vietnam War era. So, I mean, you know, what kind of a low cheap shot is that to be bringing up this kind of a stuff anyway?
Wait, has Max Cleland, since you seem to know about this, has Max Cleland made any references to this cowardly bastard that sits in the White House who ducked into the Texas Air National Guard and then was a military deserter?
Maybe on some other occasion he has, but not with that statement he made about Howard Dean, no.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything like that.
I just can't remember ever hearing any Democrat talk about George W. Bush being a deserter and a coward. They're terrified to say it because Karl Rove won't give them permission to say it. So.
Oh, yes. And then to go on about,
Joe, you want to hold on a second?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll come back right after the break. And your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy, and so far tonight, no problems. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network Newsbreak, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy plans to endorse Howard Dean for president and has asked state Democrats to begin campaigning for the former Vermont governor, state Democratic officials said Tuesday. Officials said McGreevy's endorsement, which he plans to announce Friday, is part of a broader push by Dean to gain backing of Democratic governors and other party leaders. McGreevy had planned to meet with Wesley Clark this week, but that meeting was canceled. A spokesman for Dean did not immediately return a call seeking comment. As if to prove the capture of Saddam Hussein would not end the anti-coalition insurgency in Iraq, a suicide bomber driving a taxi attacked a police building in Baghdad on Monday, killing 8 policemen and wounding 10 others. The attacks came as Saddam loyalists in Fallujah and Crete protested the ex-dictator's arrest. Momentum has waned in the U.S. fight against terrorism, a federal panel said on Monday, and the chairman urged the government not to let events like the capture of Saddam Hussein lead to complacency at home. In its final report to George W. Bush and Congress, the Gilmore Commission, mandated in 1999 by the Clinton administration to assess the country's preparedness for terrorist strikes, warned of a slowdown in progress in the U.S. domestic security front since the September 11, 2001 attacks. The 17-member panel said it had hoped the strong reaction in the wake of the 2001 attacks would result in a comprehensive national strategy to prevent further terrorist attacks, but momentum appears to have waned. Rush Limbaugh asked the court Monday to hear his claim that investigators violated his privacy by seizing his medical records and asked that the records not be released. The conservative radio host cannot be treated for his medical conditions because the state seized his charts and files last month and intimidated his doctors, the court petition said. Prosecutors have said they are investigating whether Limbaugh obtained and used prescription painkillers illegally. Typically, such records would not be released until a criminal investigation ends and charges are filed. Limbaugh's petition asks for a court hearing within 3 days. More news after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
3 German teenagers were being investigated for fraud Friday after they spent 130 million euros in a 2-hour internet shopping spree because they were bored. The 19-year-olds splashed out on light aircraft, patents, industrial machinery, restaurants, and artwork after hacking into an account on an internet auction site. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen, for the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Ideas. I'm often asked where I get the ideas for my commentaries. A few ooze out of my own feeble brain, but to paraphrase the old crooner Perry Como, I get stacks and stacks of ideas from you good folks. Some are serious, some semi-serious, and some just plain fun to think about. In the fun category is one emailed by Rose Marie, who had heard my piece about corporate tax scammers that reincorporate in Bermuda to dodge paying their U.S. taxes. I had suggested that the CEOs of these outfits should always have to wear Bermuda shorts so we could know who they are. Rose Marie, however, felt this didn't go far enough. Rather, she writes, we should make this slime wear the Bermuda shorts on their head. Mr. W. Bain is more serious. A World War II veteran from California, he writes that he's sick of hearing politicians talk about supporting our troops in war, then turning their backs on the troops after they come home. So to provide a measure of financial fairness to those who are putting their lives on the line in Iraq, he wants all of them to be awarded shares of stock in Halliburton, Bechtel, and the other Pentagon contractors and oil companies that are making a financial killing there. Another productive idea comes via email from Nora, who thinks that George W.'s multi-billion dollar tax giveaway to the super-rich is stupid. While the Millionaires Club will average nearly $100,000 each from the Bush boondoggle, most families are being tossed only $400 as a sort of hush puppy. Rather than pocket this pathetic political bribe, Nora suggests that we send the money to our favorite presidential candidate, so Bush pays for his own usurpation. Then there's Bob, who says that Bush's bizarre babblings about weapons of mass destruction are clear evidence that he should be declared formally insane and removed from office. Check Bob's website at madgeorge.us. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks for the ideas. Keep them coming.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. And right before the break, we were talking with our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief, Joe. Joe, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, and getting on to Joe Lieberman. Apparently, the 2000 presidential election was confusing for everybody, including Joe Lieberman, because 3 years later, he thinks he's Bush's vice president.
He certainly acts like it.
That's right. Some people were even suggesting that. Well, it's a split decision in the election anyway. Why not just, make Bush president or Lieberman vice president or the other way around? Whatever. And, boy, it's funny about these DLC Democrats like Joe Lieberman's. They just talk out of both sides of their mouth. Joe Lieberman has basically come out and said that if Howard Dean gets elected president, we can basically expect another, terrorist attack because Howard Dean being president, it won't be good for the safety of this country. And yet, on the other hand, Joe Lieberman, the hypocrite, the two-faced little bastard that he is, he comes out and says, well, but whoever the Democrats nominate, that's who I'm for anyway. Even when it comes right down to it, he's basically telling everybody, don't vote for Howard Dean because he can't win anyway.
I know. I don't know what some of the Democrats in this country are doing except guaranteeing or trying to guarantee another 4 years of this murderous dictator that we have in the Oval Office. Oh, well, thanks for checking in, Joe. I appreciate your call. You have a nice evening. Southside Carl's been holding on here for about an hour. Carl, welcome to the program from Chicago.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I got a couple of things before I get to this interview with us Bush ABC. One is an item for thought. Saddam was found in an improvised bunker, right?
Yeah.
Staying out of harm's way, right?
Yeah.
Now, where was George Bush right after September 11th? Wasn't he whisked away to to be at a...
Yeah, and Dick Cheney and but see, as far as I'm concerned, Carl, I'm kind of gonna go with what the Debka file in Israel has come up with, and that is Saddam was being held in that little hidey hole for a couple of weeks prior to his turnover to the U.S. military. He was held by some people who are actually Kurds who wanted the 25 million, and they captured this rat bastard and didn't know what to do with him until they could negotiate some kind of payoff of that 25 mil. So they put him in this hole. That was not a place that he lived in. That was not, as a matter of fact, there was no way to get in and out of there unless somebody on the outside would lift up the covering. I think that was made clear by Nick Robertson for CNN, who took us on a wonderful little tour of that descent into hell the other day on CNN. So the Debka file, which is, I mentioned last night, I think it's put together in Tel Aviv, or I think it's Tel Aviv. It's run by a former Mossad agent and his wife, or his daughter, and I think his son-in-law. And their website says something to the effect, this is where you come when you really want the story that the news, you know, when the news stops, Debka file begins. And they are extremely pro-Zionist. They are very anti-Palestinian. By the same token, what I have found from a couple of years of checking their website is usually they are more right than they are wrong. And the Debka file says that Saddam was held in that hidey hole. He didn't live there. The reason he looked so bad and so putrid was because he'd been held down there for a couple of weeks while they negotiated, the terms of his handover to the American authorities. So that was not his. That was not what Bush and the neo-fascists try to point it out to be. Saddam needs to be taken to The Hague, just like Slobodan Milosevic, and put on trial, or he needs to be turned over to Iraqi authorities, of which there are none, and tried. There is no workable constitution in Iraq right now. There is no law in Iraq except that imposed by the U.S. military. So how to make sure that Saddam Hussein, who was stupid enough all those years ago to sign a contract with Satan himself, and that was the United States government, who said, look, we want you to go kill a lot of Iranians. We'll provide you with all the weaponry. We'll do this. We'll do that. The devil came and collected from Saddam. So Saddam now should go to hell, as any person should go to hell who cuts a deal with the devil. Saddam is a murderer. He's a mass murderer like George Bush. He's a torturer like Henry Kissinger. He's a real thug and a killer, and he needs to be put on trial. But so does George Bush, and so does Henry Kissinger, and so does Rumsfeld, and so do all of them.
Okay, there was another thing I had heard. It was supposed to be reported, but I don't know if it got reported because of the news about Saddam. But the CIA was supposed to put out a report about their frustration of not being able to find weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And I looked for it, and I didn't never see it, come up after the Saddam thing. So I didn't know if they had, if the story was ever reported or not.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but maybe others have. Since Sunday, David, since Sunday, Carl, I've tried to stay away from.
I tuned out myself after catching it Sunday morning by 11 o'clock. I said, well, I won't be checking in this for the next couple of days. On this interview tonight, though, Sawyer.
Mm-hmm. Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, Diane. She did the interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kathy and I were just looking at the transcript. ABC has the transcript up now. Pretty bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I guess the crux of it was when she really started talking about the weapons of mass destruction, and she ran the clips of him saying, Cheney and Powell saying, not possible, but as facts, what he had and everything like this, and she was asking him, well, what do you say basically about this? And in the end, he basically said that, well, none of that really matters. We got Saddam Hussein, and the world's better off, and America is more secure.
That's what Karl Rove has pumped into the little bastard's head now, is to say that over and over and over again, because Karl Rove knows that most Americans, and by most I mean more than 50% of Americans, still believe that Saddam Hussein, thanks to Fox News and the wonderful, wonderful propaganda abilities of the Bush crime family and the willing acquiescence of CNN, ABC, CBS, and NBC, the majority of Americans honestly believe that Saddam Hussein is responsible for what occurred in this country on September 11, 2001. So for Bush to sit there now, like the jerk that he is, and say over and over again, the world's a better place since Saddam is caught, he knows he can say it because he's talking to the American public, and the American public believes that Saddam Hussein was responsible for the attacks. It's a win-win situation for these people, Carl.
Well, I personally thought he was kind of choking a little bit because she kept pressing him. And the next thing I know, you know how when some people under some of the pressure, he went for the glass, water glass.
Well, Diane Sawyer will probably have a car wreck tomorrow or on her way home from ABC Studios in New York, wherever, Washington, wherever this happened. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, well, Carl. Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing he stated and was that he stated something to the fact that, well, Saddam was involved with terrorists.
Yeah.
And he tried to make that link. Only thing I thought Diane didn't do, though, was when he wanted to, you know, brush this aside and say, well, never mind about the weapons of mass destruction, and that we were more secure, I thought she should have just followed up and said, well, tell us, how are we more secure?
Yeah, well, there's no answer to that because the answer is we're not.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay.
Appreciate your call. I wonder if somebody would have the temerity to ask a moron like George Bush, well, we agree with you, Mr. Bush, that Saddam Hussein was a terrorist. He was a terrorist to his own people. He was a terrorist to the Iranians. He was a terrorist to the Kurds. Most importantly, though, like so many people the United States has created, so many Frankenstein monsters, he was a terrorist to his own people. But I have a question for you, George. Was Henry Kissinger a terrorist when he engineered the assassination of the duly elected president of Chile and the installment of Pinochet, the result of which was thousands upon thousands? We'll never know how many people were murdered, executed, and disappeared in that country. Was Oliver North a terrorist, Mr. Bush? Was John Poindexter, you know, I mean, just questions like that on and on and on. Of course, the answer is they all are terrorists. People who commit these acts of genocide and mass murder. Or do we have a double standard? Or am I not being a patriotic American? Or should I just sit down and shut the hell up? All of these people are terrorists. They are mass killers. The United States, since the end of World War II, is responsible for more mass death on this planet than any other nation, than even the former Soviet Union, than even Communist China. Well, maybe not Communist China. I'll hedge on that one. But you see, when we do it, we are doing it in the name of God and Christ and Christianity and goodness and capitalism and mom and apple pie and peace and freedom and justice. When they do it, they are murdering dogs and bastards who have to die. We live with that. We can. We accept that. You and I accept that. We accept that tacitly. We don't talk about it. We don't go to our lodge meetings or sit in a bar with our buddies or our girlfriends. We don't go to PTA meetings and sit there and say, hey, how you doing tonight, fellow terrorist? No. We just accept it. Very quietly, very discreetly, the fact that we are drenched in the rest of the world's blood.
Those that flee the blood, and those that work, who will it? Can't believe the big screen. There's no justice in the hall. We're all criminals waiting to be called.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
They say don't step off the sidewalk and don't cross over the line, but we'll serve time at night to and the lights begin to dim. When the smoke seems to clear, you can't say what you want. We're all criminals.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom in Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a... with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
In truth. Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. We have some sound from the press conference, Bush's last press conference of the year that was held yesterday, and we're going to play that for you, but I think I'm going to pick it up after the break. Dr. John is calling from Springfield, Missouri. Dr. John, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Mike.
Hey.
I've been listening with interest,
yeah.
At the least.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, there's something that happened last week. I heard it reported last Thursday, and I looked around for several days before I found it. And it's a tape that was made over in Baghdad of a there was a guy, an Iraqi, who apparently tried to set off a roadside bomb, mm-hmm. you know, at a convoy or whatever.
Yeah, they caught him, wounded him. He was laying there, and they shot him to death while he was laying on the ground.
They executed him.
Yeah, executed him on the spot, yeah.
And CNN, of course, has not played this,
right.
But I have not found it. I found it on one website.
Yeah, Information Clearinghouse.
Right. I just sent Kathy the link to it.
Right.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I call that a war crime.
I would tend to agree. What made it particularly bad is the footage afterward where the apple-cheeked young American was talking as though he had just gotten laid for the first time and how much he couldn't wait to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we hung some Japanese generals for summarily executing prisoners of war.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is exactly why we didn't want to join that world court.
Yeah, that's very true. It's also why we are creating God knows how many Timothy McVeighs in this episode in Iraq. We created at least one in the last episode, Timothy McVeigh.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but by golly, that's exactly right. The way this guy was acting, he is Timothy McVeigh when he comes back home.
That's right.
Now, the only thing that would have made it worse if it was somebody's daughter.
Who had pulled the trigger. Yeah, you know, people who have been in combat will come back, though, Dr. John, and say, look, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. When you're in a situation like that, yada, yada, yada. And they have not seen the video. If you look at the video, I don't know what the guy was doing prior to the fact that he was laying face down behind some rubble and struggling to get up, and they were pumping bullets into his back. In the back of his head.
Yeah.
If he was trying to set a roadside bomb or one of these unconventional weapons and they caught him like that, then they should have taken the son of a bitch back to headquarters and interrogated him and threw him in a detention center. But wait, no, we can't do that because we're not at war with Iraq. There's no officially declared war, so I guess none of the Geneva Convention apply here.
No. The rules of land combat are clear. We are a signatory to the 1949 revision of the rules of land warfare,
mm-hmm.
and one of the rules specifically states that once you're rendered what they call hors de combat, H-O-R-S, de combat,
mm-hmm.
You are no longer, you're no longer a target.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically prohibited in article or section A of that article
mm-hmm.
is murder.
It's just so disconcerting to see American, apple-cheeked young American soldiers pumping bullet after bullet into somebody who is already fatally wounded and then giggling and laughing and high-fiving each other about the murder. I don't know. I can't handle it, Dr. John.
Well, it's a gruesome tape to look at. I agree with you.
Indeed.
Hey, take care. This is not a happy week for anybody.
No, it isn't. Thanks, Dr. John. Thanks. Merry Christmas to you.
You do the same.
All right, sir. Take care. There's a woman on my love. She may sit there. His name grows still. And she says, cool. He's gonna take away his license to kill. Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
This is Kim Kasnick, Office Manager for IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
Abandoned mines in the Rocky Mountains create problems for water and recreation. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The mountains of Colorado are peppered with the rocky debris of hundreds of mines that were abandoned almost a century ago. Metals in the rock have been leaching out for years, and they pollute rivers and streams across the state. Now, some of that pollution is jumping into new watersheds by way of artificial snow. That's because ski resorts tap some of the polluted rivers for water to make snow during the winter. The artificial snow carries traces of metals like iron, cadmium, copper, and zinc under the slopes. The contaminants are not an immediate threat to skiers, but when the snow melts in the spring, the metals can drain off into watersheds that had remained free of direct pollution from the old mines. Andrew Todd has been studying this pollution in Colorado's Snake River and its impact on a ski resort that taps the river to make snow. Todd is completing a Ph.D. in environmental engineering at the University of Colorado in Boulder. He's also working with scientists and resort managers to deal with the water pollution. Todd says there's growing pressure to clean it up because more people are moving into mountain communities.
As population expands in those areas through second home buying and people just wanting to spend time in the mountains, the problem seems to be generating a new awareness about abandoned mines and how they can play a role in the future of those communities, because their water resources are shaped by those impairments.
Todd says many mountain communities in Colorado are trying to expand their tourist economies beyond skiing and winter sports, but some summer pastimes like fishing depend on clean water, and that's part of the reason people want to clean up the mess at the old mines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey!
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah!
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family cheers. Have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus!
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 27 before the hour. Okay, we want to share with you now what we had planned for last night. Some of the sound from... I'm running out of expletives, descriptive adjectives for too stupid to be president. I guess I'll stick with that one. Bush. This was billed as his last press conference of 2003. At some point, that will be a religious holiday. We are talking about Jesus Christ's younger brother here, George Bush, who has come to Earth to save us all from, I don't know, from something terrible and bad. So let's get on with it. On Saddam's future trial, a reporter asks, Mr. President, what's the United States going to do with Saddam Hussein after questioning him? Will he be turned over to Iraqis for trial? And based on what you know now about mass executions and the hundreds of thousands of graves, do you think that execution should be an option?
He will be detained. We will work with the Iraqis to develop a way to try him that will stand international scrutiny, I guess the best way to put it. I shared my sentiments today with Prime Minister Martin of Canada. He asked me about Saddam Hussein and his trial. I said, look, this, the Iraqis need to be very much involved. He was the person that, they were the people that were brutalized by this man. He murdered them, he gassed them, he tortured them, he had rape rooms. And they need to be very much involved in the process. And we'll work with the Iraqis to develop a process.
God. Reporter Steve wants to know,
Mr. President, will Saddam's capture accelerate the timetable for pulling U.S. troops out and increase the likelihood of getting more foreign troops involved?
Of course, our great illustrious leader, our hero, baby Jesus' little brother, says we will stay the course. Whatever that means.
We will stay the course until the job is done, Steve. And the temptation is to try to get the president or somebody to put a timetable on the definition of getting the job done.
Yeah.
We're just going to stay the course.
No timetables. No.
It's important for them to hear that.
Yeah.
Because there will probably be some that will continue to test our will.
They will.
You know, they'll try to kill in hopes that we will flee.
Uh-huh.
And the citizens of Iraq need to know we will stay the course.
Because we are there to save them, our little brown, dusky brethren over there in the desert capitals and places like that. We are there to save them. We are there to bring them Jesus, my older brother, and Christianity and McDonald's and good stuff. We're there to bring them Halliburton and we're there to take the royal too, but and to make them all have good jobs at places like Walmart. So we will stay the course. Reporter asked Bush about his thoughts on Saddam personally.
Mr. President, when Saddam on Saturday he told a U.S. soldier he was willing to negotiate, might there be room, Your Honor, sir, for negotiation, Your Excellency, perhaps in exchange for a public statement of the Iraqi people that may serve your interests, Your Excellency, sir? And secondly, the soldier also said to Saddam reportedly that President Bush, that'd be you, sends his greetings, Your Excellency. See, you say this is not personal, but you've also pointed out this was a man who tried to murder your father, Your Excellency. So what is your greeting to Saddam, Your Honor?
Good riddance.
Oh, okay.
The world is better off without you, Mr. Saddam Hussein. It's fine. I find it very interesting that when the heat got on, you dug yourself a hole.
Oh.
And you crawled in it.
Yeah.
And our brave troops, combined with good intelligence, found you.
And a lot of money.
And you'll be brought to justice, something you did not afford the people you brutalized in your own country.
That's right. That's right. He brutalized. He gassed his own people. He did. He killed them. And your father,
Mr. Bush, when your father was Vice President of the United States, your father sanctioned the murders. Your father encouraged the murders. Your father and half your cabinet financed Saddam Hussein, Mr. Bush. Another reporter asked about other nations who've disagreed with His Excellency on Iraq.
Mr. President, do you believe that the capture of Saddam Hussein will bridge some of the differences, the bitter differences, if I may say so, that have arisen in the world over Iraq? You're shaking your head. I'm sorry. There are some. Okay. Or do you believe that the Iraq war marks a dividing line, perhaps, call it a long-term dividing line, between those countries who fought to topple Saddam Hussein and those who did not, Your Excellency?
The,
Yeah.
You're talking to, what you're talking about is France and Germany.
Yeah.
Truthfully known.
Yeah.
I might clarify your question to me.
Thank you, sir.
Look, France and Germany, I've reached out to them. They've reached out to us. It's in our national interest. We work together.
Yeah.
A whole and united and peaceful Europe is in this country's interest.
Yeah.
And we look forward to working with them on a wide range of issues, whether it be intelligence sharing or in the reconstruction of Afghanistan.
Sir, Your Excellency, Iraq. Iraq. I asked you about Iraq. Oh, wait, they're coming for... Oh, no. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Your Excellency, I didn't mean to.
Next reporter asks about the politics. The politics of Saddam's capture.
Mr. President, the capture of Saddam Hussein is something that has been universally applauded, but there still remains a lot of lingering questions, if I may, sir, about the post-war phase of Iraq. Now, this administration, that would be yours, has stated that it would like to see an interim Iraqi government stood up, by next June. the ability to be able to begin to draw down troops, if that's possible, and all sorts of stuff like that. Am I going too fast? All right, no, I'll slow down. Even a political novice would have to say, well, there appears to be some political component, to all this, some way of making real progress before, the November elections?
I'm sorry. People can read whatever they want to read into it. My job is to keep America secure.
I understand. I know.
That's my job.
I'm sorry.
I've got a solemn duty to do everything I can to protect the American people.
I know.
I will never forget the lessons of September the 11th, 2001.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Terrorists attacked us.
Iraq.
They killed thousands of our fellow citizens.
Saddam did. I know.
And it could happen again.
Well, not with him.
Therefore, I will deal with threats. Threats that... are emerging and real.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'll sit down now. I'll sit down. Thank you. Thank you. I'll go chew my pencil. I'm sorry.
Another reporter asked about weapons of mass destruction. And His Excellency talks about 911 like, dare I say it, a broken record.
Mr. President, it's been 9 months now. Governor, yeah, a little joke there. And still, there's relatively little evidence of weapons of mass destructions in Iraq. and I'm probably asking the wrong question, right, Your Honor? In retrospect, if you think back over the year, would you have been better off to make more of your, the argument that you made in recent times that democratization in the Middle East was a reason to go to war rather than weapons of mass destruction? I'm sorry, sir. I was reading this question. I know I'm challenging you. Okay, I'm sorry.
Here's what I took away from September the 11th, 2001.
Oh, okay.
That any time... Yeah. The president sees a gathering threat to the United States, we must deal with it. We can't pick or choose.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we used to could in the past.
Yeah, used to could.
And the threat of Saddam Hussein was a unique threat in this sense.
The
world recognized he was a threat for 12 years.
For 12 years.
And 17 resolutions, I think it is. I believe it was 17 resolutions. For the resolution counter, give me a hand here. 17?
Yeah, 17.
And he ignored him. And, So I went to the United Nations, as you recall.
Yeah, I do.
September the 12th, 2002.
I remember.
And said to the United Nations, let's work together.
Yeah.
To disarm this man. You recognize he had arms. We recognize he's got arms.
And legs.
Let's disarm him.
And disleg him or something. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. I thought maybe you'd answer my question about what... Never mind. I'm sorry.
Next reporter asks about the Iraq reconstruction contracts.
Mr. President, you have justified your policy in awarding prime Iraq contracts to members of the coalition authority because of their sacrifice with the war in Iraq. How's that, sir? At the same time, your administration has indicated some room for negotiation, which, frankly, sir, I think is, I don't think it should. Screw the little rat bastards over there, and where are they, France and Germany and those Brussels? Your critics have called this retaliation and even blackmail. I don't think that's true, sir. I'm just asking a question. How do you respond to that, and how is this policy helpful in generating international support, or do we already have that?
There are over 60 nations involved in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Let me make sure everybody gets it. Let's all start from the same basis, if you don't mind.
No, sir, I don't mind.
So there is international support. When you say there's over 60 nations involved in Iraq, that means that there's international support in Iraq.
Oh, okay.
Again, I think you're talking about one or two countries, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And we're reaching out to them.
Oh,
and we want them to participate.
Yeah.
And but the idea of spending taxpayers' money.
Yeah. No. No.
On contracts to firms that did not participate in the initial thrust is just it's just something I wasn't going to do.
I understand, sir. I understand. The contracts on firms that did not participate in the initial thrust is something you're not going to do. I understand that, sir. That's very clear. Let me just see if I got it right here, because I'm writing it down, because this will be on Fox tomorrow. The idea of spending taxpayers' money on contracts to firms that did not participate in the initial thrust. Okay, I think I got it, sir. I have to go to the bathroom now. Thank you. Okay.
The next reporter asks about the continuing attacks on U.S. troops.
Mr. President, do you have a sense yet of how involved Saddam Hussein was in planning and directing attacks on coalition troops? You know, Mr. President, the question I want to ask you, the American people expect that those attacks will now decrease, or should they be prepared that they might in the short term get worse? Well, I'm not trying to be a smartass here, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say smart. I'm not trying to be pushy. I guess I'm just asking about the intelligence, you know?
The intelligence.
Yeah.
That on the ground is getting better. It's getting
good.
Richer.
Richer. Thank you, sir.
There's what they call actionable intelligence to which our military's responded on a quick basis is improving.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And that's a very important development because, as you notice, when there's a hole in the ground and a person is able to crawl into it in a country the size of California, it means we're on a scavenger hunt for terror.
Ah, okay.
And the best way to find these terrorists who hide in holes is to get people coming forth to describe the location of the hole.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. My question is just dumber than hell now. I mentioned the American people expect that the attacks, the murders of our boys and girls will now decrease. But I understand, sir. I understand. When there's a hole in the ground and a person is able to crawl into it in a country the size of California, it means we're on a scavenger hunt for terror. I got it. And finding these terrorists who hide in holes is to get people coming forth to describe the location of the hole. Yes, sir, I understand. Thank you, sir. I think I'll join my colleague from the AP over there in the toilet now. Thank you, sir. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Bush. Thank you, sir.
Finally tonight, a reporter asked him if he's glad he ran for president.
Mr. Bush, when you asked the American people for their support 3 years ago, there was no way anyone could have imagined the nature of the job you would have before you. God bless you, sir. If you had known that, may I come up there and just kiss part of your anatomy? I'll wait. Sir, I'll tell you what. Let me hold off on the question just for a second. I have a terrible urge to go to the bathroom. I'll come right back and finish my question, sir. It's just all of a sudden, my bowels are turning to water. I guess it's the look you're giving me. I'll be right back, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll be right back.
More and more imposts come from overseas, so I can't. We make the pie. I know humans and fish can coexist peacefully if we don't cave into desire.
The second pillar of peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations to retain aggression and evil by force.
I agree. We all know the importance.
mental bondage between mother and child in the home. But it's hard to put food on your family. Oh, when you're always...
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Junior in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling that 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
I'm back, sir. thank you, sir. I'm back. I just, there's something about the way you were looking at me there that just felt an urge to go, to the toilet. I have the last question here. Mr. President, let me just ask it again. When you asked the American people for their support 3 years ago, there was no way anyone, Your Honor, could have imagined the nature of the job you would have before you. Who knew that you were Jesus' younger brother at the time? I'd like to come up and touch part of you, but, oh, God, my hand would probably just catch fire. So let me just ask you, if you had known then what you know now, sir, I'm sorry, I'm tearing up here. Would you have wanted the job, to be the savior? I'm sorry, the president of the United States? I guess what I'm saying, would you have had any, hesitation?
I have come to realize this job is a magnificent job.
Oh.
Because you have a chance to use the position of the United States of America to achieve peace and freedom.
Oh, sir.
And, that is a rare opportunity for any person.
I want to kiss you.
I put together a fantastic administration to help me with this task.
You have, yeah.
Very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
Let me just say that again, sir, because I'm a little drunk now, and I was in the toilet, and you said I feel very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen. Is that what you said, sir? Okay. My bowels are starting to turn to water again, sir. When someone talks like that, I feel very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen. It just makes the Metamucil speed up even more than it normally does, sir. I try to live a clean life. I try to keep my intestines flushed out and clean because, after all, my body's a temple of, oh, God, there's somebody. Mr. Bush, thank you, sir. We're all going to go over here now and be over here.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, this is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shar Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. As if to prove the capture of Saddam Hussein would not end the anti-coalition insurgency in Iraq, a suicide bomber driving a taxi attacked a police building in Baghdad on Monday, killing 8 policemen and wounding 10 others. The attacks came as Saddam loyalists in Fallujah and Tikrit protested the ex-dictator's arrest. Momentum has waned in the U.S. fight against terrorism, a federal panel said on Monday, and the chairman urged the government not to let events like the capture of Saddam Hussein lead to complacency at home. In its final report to George W. Bush and Congress, the Gilmore Commission, mandated in 1999 by the Clinton administration to assess the country's preparedness for terrorist strikes, warned of a slowdown in progress in the U.S. domestic security front since the September 11, 2001 attacks. The 17-member panel said it had hoped the strong reaction in the wake of the 2001 attacks would result in a comprehensive national strategy to prevent further terrorist attacks, but momentum appears to have waned. New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy plans to endorse Howard Dean for president and has asked state Democrats to begin campaigning for the former Vermont governor, state Democratic officials said Tuesday. Officials said McGreevy's endorsement, which he plans to announce Friday, is part of a broader push by Dean to gain backing of Democratic governors and other party leaders. McGreevy had planned to meet with Wesley Clark this week, but that meeting was canceled. A spokesman for Dean did not immediately return a call seeking comment. Rush Limbaugh asked the court Monday to hear his claim that investigators violated his privacy by seizing his medical records and asked that the records not be released. The conservative radio host cannot be treated for his medical conditions because the state seized his charts and files last month and intimidated his doctors, the court petition said. Prosecutors have said they are investigating whether Limbaugh obtained and used prescription painkillers illegally. Typically, such records would not be released until a criminal investigation ends and charges are filed. Limbaugh's petition asks for a court hearing within 3 days. More news after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
A garbage disposal plant in central Japan has hit the jackpot. Operations of the plant suddenly came to a halt Friday morning when a machine used to crush refuse began spewing out 10,000 yen bills onto a conveyor belt. In total, some $287,000 had found its way into the garbage. No one has come forward to claim the money, and police are trying to track down the owner. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Ideas. I'm often asked where I get the ideas for my commentaries. A few ooze out of my own feeble brain, but to paraphrase the old crooner Perry Como, I get stacks and stacks of ideas from you good folks. Some are serious, some semi-serious, and some just plain fun to think about. In the fun category is one emailed by Rosemarie, who had heard my piece about corporate tax scammers that reincorporate in Bermuda to dodge paying their U.S. taxes. I had suggested that the CEOs of these outfits should always have to wear Bermuda shorts so we could know who they are. Rosemarie, however, felt this didn't go far enough. Rather, she writes, we should make this slime wear the Bermuda shorts on their head. Mr. W. Bain is more serious. A World War II veteran from California, he writes that he's sick of hearing politicians talk about supporting our troops in war, then turning their backs on the troops after they come home. So, to provide a measure of financial fairness to those who are putting their lives on the line in Iraq, he wants all of them to be awarded shares of stock in Halliburton, Bechtel, and the other Pentagon contractors and oil companies that are making a financial killing there. Another productive idea comes via email from Nora, who thinks that George W.'s multi-billion-dollar tax giveaway to the super-rich is stupid. While the Millionaires Club will average nearly $100,000 each from the Bush boondoggle, most families are being tossed only $400 as a sort of hush puppy. Rather than pocket this pathetic political bribe, Nora suggests that we send the money to our favorite presidential candidate, so Bush pays for his own usurpation. Then there's Bob, who says that Bush's bizarre babblings about weapons of mass destruction are clear evidence that he should be declared formally insane and removed from office. Check Bob's website at madgeorge.us. This is Jim Hightower saying, thanks for the ideas. Keep them coming.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Seven past the hour. So I have a question for you. Do you feel safer now? Huh? The Bush crime machine has caught or negotiated the capture of a person who was no threat to us whatsoever. No threat whatsoever. Matter of fact, he's a former United States government employee. He's a former major buyer of all the filth and garbage we could sell where it concerns weapons of mass destruction in the field of chemical warfare and biological warfare. He was a good customer of ours. Meanwhile, the guy who blew up New York and killed 3,000 people... Well, his is the name that we don't talk about anymore. So now what? So now what? And as we mentioned earlier, I think we did. I don't know if we did or not. Saddam Hussein going on trial it will happen the same day that Henry Kissinger goes on trial. Saddam Hussein will never be brought to trial in a situation where open testimony could occur, because Saddam, like Noriega, like Pinochet, like the list goes on and on and on of dictators whom the United States has breastfed, suckled, provided weapons of death, taught them how to use these weapons. They have the goods on us. So they'll either wind up in solitary confinement for life, like George Pappy Bush's ex-drug partner, Manuel Noriega, or dead, like, to hell with it. Your phone call's here in just a second. U.S. troops continue to take hits and to issue hits, too. U.S. troops killed 11 attackers some of whom released a flock of pigeons to signal comrades that the Americans were approaching. This was in an ambush in a town north of Baghdad. A flock of pigeons. And was a couple of weeks ago, they launched missiles from donkey carts. A flock of pigeons. The way the Associated Press reports it, U.S. troops killed 11 guerrilla attackers, some of whom released a flock of pigeons to signal comrades in the Americans' approach in an ambush in a town north of Baghdad, the military said today. Meanwhile, General Richard Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said U.S. troops will likely be in the country for several years. Into Crete, U.S. soldiers used batons to break up a demonstration into Crete that was in protest against the capture of Saddam Hussein. That is his hometown. It'd be like the invaders coming here and busting George Bush and the people of, what's his hometown? Somewhere in Connecticut? Well, never mind. I guess that wouldn't happen. Chanting, "We sacrificed our blood and souls for you, Saddam." Scores of people gathered outside Crete University to denounce Saturday's arrest of Saddam. They shouted with their fists raised, "God is greatest, America is the enemy of all peoples." Shortly afterwards, U.S. soldiers charged the protests, beating and arresting protesters, the witnesses said. And then there's this report. U.S. troops dispersed demonstrators and deployed tanks and assault helicopters in a show of force in Saddam Hussein's hometown, Tikrit. The soldiers were visibly angry after three of their own were wounded in an attack a few hours earlier, and residents were warned the troops would not hesitate to use their firepower to disperse any future pro-Saddam protest. Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Russell, who commands 4th Infantry Division's 122 Battalion in Tikrit, said, quote, "They will not be allowed to go around kissing pictures of Saddam," end quote. To demonstrate his resolve, the lieutenant colonel deployed 30 Abrams tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles and 300 infantrymen in full combat gear through the center of town. 2 Kiowa observation helicopters hovered overhead, and a loudspeaker mounted on an armored truck blared a message warning in no uncertain terms that U.S. anti-U.S. protests are now illegal. The provincial governor, appointed by the Americans, who rode with the Americans, said, "Any demonstration against the government or the coalition forces will be fired upon." Colonel Russell said this would mean warning shots, but he made it clear his men would not hesitate to shoot to kill. Quote, "We cannot hand out lollipops in this city. It does not work here," end quote. A crew of an Abrams tank pointed toward the crowd. The cannon of the tank, on which the words "cause for concern" were spray-painted. Residents stared silently. Colonel Russell said, "These people have always hated us." The feeling appeared to be mutual. One soldier rushed toward bystanders, holding up his M16 and yelling in English, "Effing move! Get the F out of here!" Colonel Russell said of Tikrit residents, "These people love Saddam." Later, he warned a man suspected of organizing the protests that, quote, "The game is over. We have ears, we have eyes," he said through a translator. "If our ears and eyes see you organizing demonstration, you will be in jail for a very long time." I wonder if that will ever be applied in this country. I know some of you will say it already has been. It already is. Right? Okay. But enough from me. Tara is calling from St. Louis. Hey, Tara.
Hey. Wow. I wonder if they're going to have, like, free speech zones over there, too, for, you know, people to actually have to say things.
No, there is no free speech. When you have an occupied country, the people whom you are occupying, in the case of Israel, it's the Palestinians. In the case of the United States, it's the Iraqis. In the case of the Turks, it's the Kurds. And I mean, it just goes on and on. No, there's no such thing as free speech.
Really what I was calling about was on the Diane Sawyer interview tonight that Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
He actually pretty much said, when she was pressing him about the WMDs, yeah, and whether or not they were there and our intelligence and all that, he pretty much said, what's the difference between whether or not Saddam could have acquired them or whether or not he actually had them?
Yeah.
I mean, the transcript's right on the website. It's just amazing to me. I mean,
yeah, we'll try to get some sound from that. But I think it's very clear, you know, to people like you and me, that's an outrageous statement. And, I don't know, grounds for impeachment or a slap on the wrist or a kick in the ass or something. But don't forget, Tara, the majority of the American people love George Bush. He's a great American. He captured the man. He, George Bush, captured the man who brought bombers to this country on September 11, 2001 and butchered 3,000 people in New York and Washington and a field in Pennsylvania. That's how this whole thing is perceived. Saddam Hussein is the person who killed Americans. Saddam Hussein. In this country. So George Bush, when he says to Diane Sawyer over ABC with God knows how many millions of Americans watching, what difference does it make? The people watching, the majority of them, not you, but the majority of them say, yeah, damn it, what difference does it make? He's right. Love you, George Bush. That's where we are, Tara.
I don't know. I think he really screwed up. I mean, hopefully we can call him on it, and hopefully like
Who?
We can make people pay attention. And
who's going to call him on it?
I don't know. The candidates? I mean, the media?
Nah,
anybody?
The media?
I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up.
Well, I'm not saying give up, but I think in order to build a resistance in a country like the United States of America in 2003, 2004, I think the first thing that has to be done for the resisting forces is to understand what we're up against. There's nobody in media is going to challenge that statement. Did anyone? Was there a post-interview a dissection of what was said the way they used to do to Clinton? Was George Stephanopoulos sitting there and Sam Donaldson and Cokie Roberts, were they sitting there after Diane Sawyer's interview saying, okay, now let's see, what did he say here? Here's what he said here. Well, what is his, like they used to do with Clinton? I don't think that's what happened. There's nobody. Wolf Blitzer is going to challenge Bush. Tim Russert? I agree with you. It's not time to give up. But
we've got to write to all these people, though. I mean, I don't know what we have to do something. I just wanted to get that out there so everyone knew and
okay.
heard about it.
All right. Well, that's good. Thanks, Tara.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate your call. I will say what I usually say around this issue. You want to do something to protect your liberty? Go back to what the racist, raping Thomas Jefferson said. The Tree of Liberty needs to be nurtured occasionally with the blood of patriots and tyrants, or something like that. But I honestly, no, I don't want to give up either. I really don't. Although it does look more and more hopeless and bleak, doesn't it? But I don't want to give up. But I think the first thing we have to do in not giving up is recognize what we're up against. And to expect anyone, with a few exceptions, but nobody in electronic media, nobody in radio or television, that is a regular comment, a news guy or news gal or anchor or whatever, they're not going to do a damn thing. Most of the people in media, in the print medium, are not going to do a damn thing. There are a few exceptions. I always say that, don't I? There are a few exceptions. Of course there are. Greg Palast and Robert Scheer and occasionally E.J. Dionne and just one here and there and over there and one buried and burrowed and over there and there's one and maybe over there and that's about it. But to reach the vast majority of the American public, journalists, now scratch that, to reach the vast majority of American public, television announcers, television anchor people, television commentators, to challenge George Bush on a statement like that, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? No, it's not going to happen. There is no challenge. What difference does it make? And that's where we are. So what to do about it? I don't know. I'm a talk show host. I have no idea. And probably not that for very much longer. Sarah is calling from Santa Fe. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You know, I was listening to Bush's speech patterns, and I used to think when he does that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that he was trying to collect his thoughts, such as they might be. But I'm beginning to think that maybe he has a small transistor in his ear.
You're not You're not the only one who thinks that. Let me put you on hold. I'll come right back, okay?
Okay.
Got to take a quick break here. No, a lot of people are starting to believe that it's Condi Rice's voice in the earpiece or Carl Rove's or somebody's.
And in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Can I feel
feel very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from, great advisors to whom I listen.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it? It's just astonishing. David is calling from someplace. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, David. You're on the program.
Hey, Mike. Wow. The day has been, I called you and we talked about the economy. I think things are going pretty good for George W. Bush. We got Saddam Hussein, and do you think we're going to top 8.3 GDP at the end of the fourth quarter?
What?
Do you think we're going to top?
David, I really don't care. Get to the point. Don't call me and ask me questions. Get to your point, or I'm going to move on to another caller. I don't like talking with you anyway. You're boring. You're an irritation. You're a right-winger, and you turn my stomach. But I still give you a little airtime until you finally get so stupid I have to let you go. So go ahead and make your point.
My point is I don't see Bush being beaten 2-0-4. Do you see anger in Howard Dean? Do you see? I look forward to listening to a debate between Howard Dean and George W. Bush. Do you see it happening?
Don't ask me questions, David. Make your point and make it quick. I'm about to move on to somebody else. Go ahead and make your statement.
Well, that was my point, that this has been a good month for George W. Bush. That's what I called for. That's what I told you. Call screener this time, that I basically wanted to vote because I see in the next few election cycles perhaps 70 Republicans in the Senate. And I don't see your party doing anything to stop that. I see your party getting rolled by Karl Rove. Hello?
Yeah. Anything else?
You're not going to respond to that?
Not at all. Because I used to go to Sunday school, and some of the lessons I learned in Sunday school still apply. And if I would respond to you, David, I would be breaking the rules that my grandmother taught me in Sunday school.
What is so? Did you see?
No, don't ask me questions. I don't want to engage with you. Make your statement. I'll give you a little airtime. Go ahead, David.
That was my statement.
Okay, thank you. Adios. Taxi driver number 12 calling from Santa Fe. What's up?
How you doing? I'm not the office here. Okay, hold on a second. Let me turn the light on. Everything you've been saying tonight about George Bush is a mass murderer.
Yeah.
About how the media lies. The media is right wing.
Right.
I, for the life of me... Well, I can understand your point about campaign finance reform, but you think that the issue ads are a pack of lies. But don't forget the right-wingers think you're a pack of lies, and they would have you banned. Also, there's a lot of people in the middle. There's a lot of people who are undecided who you could probably be very persuasive. Now, my point is this. 2 months before an election, you accuse the media of being right-wing. It's, you know, the Fox News, CNN, and all the other alphabet soup media channels, and the only ones that are speaking the truth, that are putting out the liberal message, that are putting out the the progressive message, are like Democracy Now! And you and the Serious Left and those type of channels. What the campaign finance does by banning people from, paid or not, putting issue ads on the air saying George Bush is a liar, put him out of office. The campaign finance law is the Fox News Empowerment Act because it gives them more time and it silences the opposition.
Yeah.
That is why I don't like it at all. Congress has no business saying who can't say what about...
Well, you and I agree on the essential element. It's just that we come to the agreement, number 12, by different avenues, which I'll be happy to share with you as soon as we take a break here and come back. So stick around.
Treat me mean. Oh, you treat me cruel. Change.
high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Abandoned mines in the Rocky Mountains create problems for water and recreation. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The mountains of Colorado are peppered with the rocky debris of hundreds of mines that were abandoned almost a century ago. Metals in the rock have been leaching out for years, and they pollute rivers and streams across the state. Now, some of that pollution is jumping into new watersheds by way of artificial snow. That's because ski resorts tap some of the polluted rivers for water to make snow during the winter. The artificial snow carries traces of metals like iron, cadmium, copper, and zinc under the slopes. The contaminants are not an immediate threat to skiers, but when the snow melts in the spring, the metals can drain off into watersheds that had remained free of direct pollution from the old mines. Andrew Todd has been studying this pollution in Colorado's Snake River and its impact on a ski resort that taps the river to make snow. Todd is completing a Ph.D. in environmental engineering at the University of Colorado in Boulder. He's also working with scientists and resort managers to deal with the water pollution. Todd says there's growing pressure to clean it up because more people are moving into mountain communities.
As population expands in those areas through second home buying and people just wanting to spend time in the mountains, the problem seems to be generating a new awareness about abandoned mines and how they can play a role in the future of those communities, because their water resources are shaped by those impairments.
Todd says many mountain communities in Colorado are trying to expand their tourist economies beyond skiing and winter sports, but some summer pastimes like fishing depend on clean water, and that's part of the reason people want to clean up the mess at the old mines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Did you hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
27 before the hour, we're talking with number 12 out in Santa Fe. All right, we come to the same conclusion that campaign finance reform is a joke, but we get there by different routes, and we have different ideas in mind. Number 12, I think, I've said it before. There should not be allowed on radio or television any political ad, because they are all designed to be propaganda, even from the guys and gals on my side, the ones that I support. It's all designed to use images to convince people not to do their own research, not to do their own reading, not to do their own thinking. Just watch a 30 or 60 second ad and all of a sudden be informed about mercury in the atmosphere, or how bad it is to own guns, or how abortion makes people crazy, whatever the issue is. So
let's go back to what you said there, your very basic statement. It should not be allowed. Don't forget what the First Amendment says. Congress shall make No
okay,
law.
I don't want to get involved in that argument about freedom.
It's unconstitutional.
About freedom of speech.
It's unconstitutional.
Look, the only people who can let me ask you something. When's the last time you ran an ad on television promoting one of your beliefs?
You know, I could go on the cable
No, wait. Oh, cable access. For Christ's sake, what, four people would see it? Listen to me. Listen to me. Here's the flaw in your ointment, okay, where it concerns the First Amendment. The First Amendment does not say free speech is only for people who have money or organizations who have money. Well, it turns out, my friend, that the only people who can put these ads on national television or national or radio are people who have tons of money. So if we use let me finish. If we use your line of thinking, and the way you no respect disrespect intended here, but the way you're twisting the First Amendment, what it means is you are advocating that people with money should have the right to put their ideas out there, and people without money piss on them. Sorry, don't go along with it, pal. Every single ad, political ad, should be kept off radio and television. All of them.
Don't forget that most people who join these groups pay $5, $10, $15 and they join and sign up for free.
No, not true. Not true. Absolutely not true. That is one of the biggest lies perpetrated on the American public in the past 20 years. That you take an organization like Citizens for Tax Justice or Citizens to Arm America or Citizens to Bring Home All the Dogs or Citizens to Make Sure Your Dog Has Proper Dental Hygiene. Those are usually industry ads. They're put together by three guys in a fax machine, and they use money that comes from corporations who want to make sure they sell dog toothpaste to the dog owners. Come on, number 12. I may be stupid, but I'm not ignorant, all right?
I'm sorry. Congress shall make no law. It is unconstitutional.
Yeah. Right.
Doesn't matter if you don't like
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. We're right back where we started. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot. Drive safe. Get lots of business tonight. Make a fortune. Buy a TV ad. Now, I'm sorry, folks. I have liberals getting my case about this, too. But I will not back down from this, not one inch. And it's not something I just came to. I've been talking about this for 10 years in radio. Political ads should be banned. They should be poison where it concerns radio and television. I don't care if it's from the good guys or the evil bastards on the Republican side. It doesn't make any difference. You want to find out how bad your water is from arsenic? Go read about it. Go study it. Get a book. Look it up on the Internet. And once you get the information, get off your dead ass and go out and organize your neighbors to vote against it. Political ads suck big time, because if I can use them to put forth my progressive ideas, then the fascists can use them. And they got way more money than you have. Okay, to put forth their degenerate ideas. There is not, the First Amendment has nothing to do with this, unless you make the ads free. And that's the only caveat that I will add to it. I can be backed down if the ads were free. But they're not, and they never will be. You live in America, Sparky. You live in a capitalist society where ideas, political ideas, cost money. You want to get your idea out? You want to save the whales? Go collect money. And if you don't collect money, the whales die. End of story. Don't give me that First Amendment crap. The First Amendment does not say that only people who have money have the right of political speech. And that's precisely what issue ads or campaign ads dictate. If you have money, your voice is heard. If you don't, it's not heard. And as far as, well, you know, a lot of people contribute to those ads, Mike. What about those pro-union ads? No, a lot of people don't contribute. That is the illusion that has been sold to us. When was the last time you contributed to an issue ad? Mr. or Ms. Liberal, Mr. or Ms. Progressive, when?
Oh, I sent in a contribution to Amnesty.
It's not what I'm talking about. So, no. And anybody who tries to run that cheesy First Amendment business by me where it concerns political speech, or the payment of money to get your political speech on television and radio. To me, that's childish. You might as well, you know, talk to me about third grade issues. Don't say the First Amendment says that if I've got money, I can get my idea out there. If you don't have money, piss on you. Nuh-uh. Don't even. Oh, I mean, you can, but, you know, I'll just laugh at you. Mike is calling from D.C. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, pal?
A little bit disgusted, but what can we do?
Well, I don't know. Drop back 10 yards and punt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A few points. One, I'm doing what I can. Do not leave the airways. We need a strong voice and a strong mind.
Hey, I hope I don't. But you know,
I signed the petition, so you know.
I'm at the mercy since I don't own a network or a radio station or a satellite uplink. I'm kind of at the mercy of people who may or may not hire me. So you know that's
what you mean? We have free speech.
Yeah.
The First Amendment.
that's just where I am. You know, I mean that's just where this kind of a radio show is. You know, if you're not a right winger who still wants to see Bill Clinton's penis, then you're not. You know, you're probably not going to get hired by a major network. It didn't used to quite be that way, but it is now. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to this network. I know that IE America is on the block. Somebody may buy it. Somebody may not. Have no idea.
But God, it's really getting obscene. I mean, whatever happened to the continual spin that it was Saddam Hussein that was directing all these attacks from his hidden bunker in the hills? I mean,
anything,
he was even directing himself.
Yeah, anything you hear from any member of the Bush administration or any of their horrors, including members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is a lie. All of it. I don't understand why there's any question about that any longer in the minds of people who haven't given themselves over to the lust and love of George W. Bush. Every single thing that comes out of their mouths in terms of policy, in terms of politics, is a total fabrication, a complete lie. And as I've said several times in this program, as a lot of people are starting to realize about the same time I did, they don't even bother to spin anymore. They don't bother with the half-truths. They don't bother with the distortions. They just come right out, look the camera or the questioner in the eye, and lie.
Exactly.
That's it. So,
and another little tidbit to throw at you as to why they will never try Saddam Hussein in international tribunal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you heard what happened today in The Hague, right?
No, I've not. What did happen?
Well, we have.
I know that Wesley Clark is over there testifying.
Right,
I think,
the unindicted war criminal was testifying today, but only after the U.S. Extorted promises from the tribunal that A, any testimony would have to be gleaned by the United States before it was released.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you know that there was a gag order. It was a Star Chamber proceeding.
You know why they did that? You know why they did that? Because that was Clinton's war, and there's not a thug in Washington on the Republicans who wouldn't love to see Clinton go down in flames. The reason they did that is to protect George W. Bush. You know that. So that at some subsequent date, they can't say, well, you've already established precedent over here in the trial of Milosevic. So, yeah, this is one more example of the Bush slime family protecting their puppet and their puppet's daddy.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, there are many that are in this administration who were beating the war drums at warp speed.
Right.
To bomb Yugoslavia illegally, as illegally as Bush did. I mean, that set the precedent. Well, actually, Daddy Bush set the precedent when he invaded Panama.
Yeah,
you know, and
know.
Before him, when Reagan invaded Grenada, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was 2 days after Reagan made sure that 246 unarmed Marines were blown to pieces in Lebanon, in Beirut. And Pappy Bush was involved in that. These people have more blood and pieces of American human flesh splattered across their $2,000 suits than we Americans could possibly imagine, Mike.
Well, you know, the thing is, what kills me is all these people who love Reagan, the God Reagan. My God, he got more people, more Marines killed at one time than has happened since World War II. They didn't even manage to do that in Vietnam in any single engagement.
But he's a hero. He's Saint Reagan. He's
a mentally decrepit, ruling fool.
He's not Jesus Christ's younger brother. That's George W. Bush. But he is Saint Reagan. And the atrocities that he committed and the crimes he committed were not to speak of. Were not to speak of at all. Okay?
And one last point.
Sure.
I don't think you're a liberal.
You don't?
I've been listening to Phil Oakes, Love Me, I'm a Liberal. You're not a liberal.
You know? Yeah?
You're a radical or progressive, but you're not one of these armchair, I'll be left when it pleases me and it doesn't cost me liberals.
Oh, no, but that's a certain type of liberal. Those are the ones I refer to as limousine liberals. But you can still be a liberal and be, have a passionate point of view and be willing to take the risks. Some people call that progressive, some call it radical, and some call it liberal. So I think we're all on the same page here, Mike.
Right.
All right, sir.
I was saying, I just don't typify you as a liberal and love me, I'm a liberal. You know?
Yeah, pet me, give me a doggy biscuit, and let me sit up and talk about, let's have proper speech. I hear you, Mike. Thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, take care.
All right, sir, you too. John is calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. Concerning Wolf Blitzer, if given the opportunity, I believe he would challenge George Bush.
Wolf Blitzer?
Yes.
Is this a joke coming? You're about to give me the punchline.
No.
No? I think Wolf Blitzer is one of the biggest suck-ups to George Bush on television, the entire Bush administration. In my opinion, you don't agree?
No. From the beginning of his career, he has covered many events that have shaped the international political landscape. I mean, if you look at in 1973, when Willy Brandt visited Israel, he was on site, and he's won numerous awards. He's interviewed Bill Clinton. It was the first online interview.
Yeah, but you have to take a look at, you know, Wolf Blitzer comes from, he was, I think, the Washington bureau chief for the Jerusalem Post. He's a former newspaper guy. He's a total Zionist, which in the context of George W. Bush is not a bad thing to be. No, I disagree with you, John, absolutely. Wolf Blitzer, and remember, not that I know him where we go have drinks together, but I worked at CNN at the same time he worked at CNN. And the stories around CNN, everybody talks, you know, I don't care where you work. You work at CNN, you work in a high school, you work wherever you work. People talk about everybody else that works there. Wolf Blitzer had a reputation of a class A suck-up. He would get on his knees in front of anybody if it meant advancing his television career. That's the truth. So I disagree with you. I think he is no more, he would be no more willing to ask the tough questions of George Bush than he would be willing to ask the tough questions of Ariel Sharon. I just, no. Sorry.
In 1996, he actually won an Emmy Award for his coverage of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right. Think about that. An Emmy. Not an award, not a Pulitzer, not a journalism award, not a Peabody, an Emmy. You understand what an Emmy is?
Yes.
Okay. Television coverage. It means nothing. It's worse than meaning nothing, unless it has to do with entertainment. John, let me move on. We're just about flat running out of time here. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Kim is calling, one of our over-the-road truckers driving near Atlanta. Kim, welcome to the program. Just in time to say welcome to the program, let me put you on hold. We'll come right back after the break, okay?
You got it.
All right, sir.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise two-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio two-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
4 and a half before the hour. We're not going to get to several of your phone calls, and I apologize. We'll pick it up tomorrow night, though. We're talking with Kim, truck driver, over the road, driving near Atlanta. Kim, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
That's okay. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Okay. Number one, and I keep on trying to tell people that say that they're opposed to, you know, this bill that now the law that's taking effect about this advertising before the last 60 days before an ad.
Right.
And I'm like you. I keep on trying to tell them, freedom of speech. Speech is what you and I are doing right now.
That's right.
It is not an advertisement.
That's right.
But they don't seem to understand it. You know, if somebody wants calling Rush Limbaugh, if he's still out of jail by that time, hey, you know, that's great. That's a talk show.
Right.
You know, it's writing letters to the editor. But anyway, that was my one point. Number two, didn't Osama bin Laden have to have dialysis?
Yeah, he was, if he's still alive, this is one sick dude.
Okay, now how hard is it to find a guy up in the mountains, you know, with a dialysis machine being dragged behind him?
You wouldn't think it'd be very hard. I think you and I, if they armed us and gave us a couple of good horses, we'd probably have a pretty good chance of finding him, Kim.
You know, it's not like just a guy hiding out in the mountains or, you know, like you and I in good health.
Right, I know. It's awful. Where are you heading to?
I'm going up to North Carolina.
I'm
off the road right now. It's starting to rain again.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're flat out of time, partner. Drive safe, take it easy, and check in with us again, okay?
You got it. Be safe, man.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. We're out of time. We are. I mean, I've got about 45 seconds here. So if you're on hold and we didn't get to you tonight, I do apologize. We'll get to you tomorrow night if you call back in. The program engineered in Detroit tonight by Steve Damshorter, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman, as always, announces for us. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out if you haven't been there. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, is back with us. And all of you bureau chiefs. Oh, by the way, again, I mentioned this earlier. I mentioned it again. I need a couple of rich liberals to go to radiopower.org and write a huge check for Shelby LaPrey over there. If you want to continue to hear these programs that you hear that are put out there by Radio Power, you got to support it. If you are not a rich liberal, go anyway and kick in $10, all right? I don't ask you for donations here. Probably should, but don't. But go to radiopower.org, okay? Especially if you're a rich liberal. For God's sake, write her a check, will you? Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
No more lies.
Kristen was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America